Welcome to Shaken and Disturbed, everybody. I am Father God Darren Karp here with Mommy God John Thrasher. See, even when I
Mommy
say it,
God.
it's terrible, it's just terrible.
Well, I
Like,
was
it's
gonna
just
say,
something
guys,
about you saying it, me
go
saying
listen
it. I
to
don't know.
the NMR we released on Patreon. Darren just gave me a bunch of shit for saying mommy, and then she says it,
She
so I
said,
don't
Mommy
know.
and Daddy, and I didn't
It's your
like it.
mommy and daddy.
See,
That
didn't
is
like it there.
weird. No,
Yeah.
that is weird.
You can agree with that. But welcome to Shaken and Disturbed. We have an exciting case to talk to you guys about today. But John, are you on spring break? Were you like in
Well,
Mexico with your tits out? What were you doing?
no. I didn't
Oh.
go on spring break or anything. We just took a week off because I had quite a lot going on last week personally, so we hadn't done a flashback episode yet this year, I don't think. So we just took a little bit of a break here at the middle of March, like a lot of people do. You know, I work at a university, so I'm very aware of spring break and like what goes on these days. So yeah, we had our little our spring break. Do you remember spring break on MTV back in the day when we
That's
were
why I said, do
young?
you have like your boobs
Oh,
out
okay.
in Mexico? Of course I do. Honestly, that
God,
was
so good.
so aspirational back then because,
I
I was
know.
probably like 12, 13, 14, when I was watching
Yeah,
that and
same.
like you're thinking all these things and just watching Spring Break, especially on MTV that just dominated that space, was
Right.
just so cool and looked
Yeah, it
so
was.
fun and looked so wild. And I was like, I'll never be as old as they are.
I know, and I can't. That's a good point too.
I just will never be as old.
And I also aspired to it because I came from a small town where
Right.
we didn't even have a top 40 radio station. So all of the pop culture that we were aware of was only coming in through VH1 and MTV. And so to see, I lived in a small mountain town in Maryland, and to like see these other parts of the country and people having fun at the beach, I was like, what's going on here? You know, like we
Yeah.
traveled and I went to the beach every summer as a kid, but like, you know, you would see like the Spice Girls hanging out with like Jason Biggs and like
Throwing
all
like,
these.
yeah, Jason Biggs. Throwing like big beach fucking balloons and like playing
Yeah,
volleyball with everyone just like
parties.
party. Everyone's just like having the best time and not throwing up or anything like that. And it's like, in actuality, it's like you have a beer at 2 o'clock, like you're sure is gonna
Yeah.
vomit by
Oh,
three,
100%. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it's
Anyway.
crazy to think about that now, but super fun. Well, I'm glad you're back. We
Well, I
missed
was going to
you.
say, guys, just pretend that we were doing that for the last week. That's what we were up
Yes,
to.
pretend John was in his bikini. Him and Magic were like playing beach volleyball, like
Yeah.
slow-mo. And me and
Nothing to see
Snoopy were
here.
like judging and scoring.
That's right. With like
Right?
little like boards with numbers on them. Yeah.
Yes, go over to our Patreon to see Snoopy on her beach vacay pics
Yes. Oh
because
my God, it's so cute.
it's great. Okay, before we get into this week's case, if we have a good one this week, I wanted to just shout out something that John and I are going to be talking about next week to just give you guys a heads up to maybe watch ahead of time, write us questions on
Yeah.
Instagram at Carpe Darren at J Thrasher, on our Facebook, on our Patreon, a number of different places. We are going to be recapping A Body in the Snow, the Karen Reed trial on Max. Give a little background in case you didn't listen to our
Yeah.
NMR. This is sort of a case that really was global and felt like everyone in the country was paying attention to, except John and I. We never even really spoke
I
about it.
know we
And to be
didn't.
honest with you, I didn't really even know that much about the case. I knew the log line. I didn't know what the
Yeah,
prosecution was
same.
saying, what the defense was saying. And it turns out that this like was a global phenomenon and everyone was watching Karen Reed. So this actually has her, it's a 4-part doc on Max. It actually has her in the doc. So take that for what you will. There's supposed to be a retrial coming up in April. So we're gonna see, but definitely check it out and we'll be
Yeah,
covering it next
covering it.
week. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Darren. Well, why don't you kick us off here at the top of the
Sure.
show, with some of the most interesting details of this case?
Lorenzen Wright was born in November of 1975 in Oxford, Mississippi. Lorenzen found a passion for basketball at an early age, eventually playing for his high school team. And he started high school in Mississippi until his family relocated to Memphis, that's in Tennessee, where Lorenzen, excuse me, joined an amateur athletic league in Memphis and began dating his coach's daughter, Shara. Now, I don't know if I'd date my coach's daughter.
Yeah, that's a tough one
My soccer coach
because.
was no fucking bullshit, and I'm not sure not that he had kids, not that I was dating women in high school, but I sure as hell would have been tough
Like, just to
in,
be clear,
just to be clear, I that's a risky one.
Yeah, I feel like you're gonna have a lot more pressure on you whenever it's your
Yeah.
coach's daughter, you know, but who knows, you know?
Well, the two were sweethearts throughout high school. Again, reminder, my high school superlative was cutest couple with my boyfriend at the
Thank
time.
you. We've
Just,
yeah, thank you, cutest
just fine.
couple. Yeah.
Just well, just in
You're
case John forgot. Just in
you're
case
one of
John
those
forgot.
people that just holds on to their high school superlative for the rest of their life. By the way, to be clear, my class was the only class in high school for the history of my high school to not do superlatives for
What is
some reason.
that? Well, what does
So,
that say?
but what would I
Hey.
have won? Probably like cutest boy, maybe. I don't know.
Cutest wanted to be cutest boy the most.
Most
I got
annoying
best eyes in
person.
middle school. Holding
Darren
on to
doesn't,
it.
yeah, hold on to those things
I was
because
12.
clearly. What did you say? Cutest eyes?
Best eyes, best eyes.
Best eyes. Well,
Yeah.
you have nice eyes. Your eye color is very unique, I'd say.
Yeah, and
Anyway.
Snoopy has the same color. Anyway, back to the case. She does, Hazel. Anyway,
I
in
hear you.
1994, after high school graduation, Lorenzen was hit with two giant life changes. He was selected to play for the University of Memphis. Wow. And Shara got pregnant with their first child. Those are
Those are two
massive,
very large things,
big
yes.
things. Now, during his collegiate years, Lorenzen was recognized as a third-team All-American by the Associated Press during his sophomore year at the University of Memphis. Big honor. I mean, that's a big
Yeah.
school, a
Yeah, it
lot of
is.
competition, being an All-American, huge. Now, at 6'11",
My God.
6'11", Lorenzen shone in the 1996 NBA draft out of the University of Memphis, where he was the seventh overall pick to join the Los Angeles Clippers. Now, the joke about the LA
Yeah,
Clippers.
let's hear it from you. Former New Yorker living in LA, everybody.
Right. And like, I'm always in need of a good sports team. Obviously, the Lakers, it's like, so I've been to the Clippers stadium here. It's called the Intuit Dome, which you can tell is really going to be. I went to like a Jingle Ball red carpet there. It's really for the Olympics. It's a beautiful,
Oh,
beautiful stadium.
okay.
But no one is a Clippers fan here. If
Oh.
you are not Lakers in LA, like you
Oh,
don't see
right.
Clippers jerseys. It is just, it's not like New York and Mets because there's like legitimate Mets fans and a lot of Mets
Right.
fans, even though I make fun of them. Like it is like you cannot be a Clippers fan here. You just cannot be a Clippers fan. And so ultimately they're even more fun to go to because you can get tickets for like 15 fucking dollars
Yeah, that's
and
right.
it's a beautiful new stadium. But just like LOL to him joining the Clippers, of which
Yeah.
no one gives a fuck about in LA.
Bummer. Damn.
Yes. Well,
I hope no one listening is a Clippers fan. Darren just
listen, I'm a
ripped you
Knicks fan,
apart.
so it's even worse. But
Yeah, okay.
throughout his
I'm one of those types of fans
I mean,
too. I
listen,
love sports ball.
the good news is like when you get drafted to a team, you got to think about where they're living. And if you're ever going to play for the Clippers or the Knicks or something, it's like you get to live in LA, you get to live in New York. You're not
That's true.
stuck in like Buffalo or something like that. And
Pittsburgh.
not in a bad way, but just in
Yeah.
like
Well,
if you have to live where your team is, you probably want to live, you're young, you
yeah,
probably
that's
want to live
true.
someplace like
Like
lively and
LA. Yeah, yeah,
hey,
yeah.
exactly.
I want to say just really quickly, I'm not a hockey fan. I know you are.
Yeah.
I really want to go to a Pittsburgh Penguins. I live in
I've
Pittsburgh, for those who
been.
don't know, a Pittsburgh Penguins game. You have? Because do you know why? I bet you can guess.
Because there's some handsome dude on the team that you like.
Yes. What's his name?
His name is Penguin, the Pittsburgh
Yeah, his name is
Pirate.
Penguin Pittsburgh Pirate, Darren. Yes. Good job. You figured it out.
Thank
No,
you.
his name is Sidney Crosby. You know Sidney
Oh.
Crosby. Do you not know Sidney Crosby?
I
Even
don't
I
know.
knew who he was, but maybe it's because I grew up kind of near here. But anyway.
I'm going to stick with
Anyway,
my
back to the
Penguin
case.
Pittsburgh
Too many
Pirate. So,
tangents.
throughout his basketball career, Lorenzen played for a number of teams, including the Memphis Grizzlies, the Los Angeles Clippers, like we mentioned, Sacramento Kings, and the Cleveland Cavaliers,
Okay.
which, LeBron James actually like
Oh,
kind of
that's
really
right.
made famous. Now,
Yeah.
he held career averages of 8 points and 6.4 rebounds per game, playing in 778 and that's 793, including playoffs, NBA games over 13 seasons. Okay. Like, decent amount of rebounds. Not a huge point guy, but decent amount of rebounds. You have absolutely no idea what the fuck I'm talking
No,
about.
my eyes are glazing over, but
You literally were just like, you just like
I
rolled your
was.
eyes. You were like,
I'm happy to let you explain all the stats as the resident like jock of the show.
oh, okay.
If you could ever also translate into tennis or pickleball terms, that would be really helpful.
Oh,
Thank
okay.
you.
Got you.
Okay, so getting into some of the details here. So Shara and Lorenzen married in 1998, and Shara gave birth to their second child the following year. So a lot of life happening here. I know we've said this before, but being a professional athlete so young and going having so much career happening and then multiple children and getting married, there's a lot of big life things that are happening. And
Yeah.
I would say that for the most part, that's a good thing for most people, but some people don't handle it all that well too,
Change
So
is
we'll get
hard.
into that. So yeah, change is hard. So in his personal life, Lorenzen was known as a good man, a loyal friend, a loving son, a devoted husband and father, all those things. And throughout the next 5 years, Shara gave birth to five more children.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's impressive only because I just like pregnancy scares me and I and just like intimidates me rather or I'd rather say
Yeah.
that and like I anyone that can do it and do it with a smile on their face like I'm always really impressed by because to me it's just it doesn't come natural to like have
Right.
that and just like genuinely scares me. So to kind of be when you're having five children within 5 years
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot.
and you have seven kids, you're basically pregnant for
Around the
eight
clock,
fucking
24/7.
years, right? You're basically just pregnant. You know, one of these
Right,
housewives
right.
actually talked about it who had seven kids, and I was like,
Oh my
I
God.
can't imagine that. Like 9, like 10 months really kind of encompass the
Yeah.
whole thing. It scares the shit out of me, let alone doing it for a fifth of my life. You know what I mean? To be pregnant for 7 years, it's like,
Yeah,
Jesus, that's
it's a
crazy.
lot.
You know? Wow.
It's a
Anyway.
lot. And tragically, unfortunately, their youngest baby, her name was Sierra, passed away from SIDS, which is known as sudden infant death syndrome, in 2003. Now, her death seemed to signify a turning point for the couple, which of course it would, who in their grief began having maybe more increasingly messy arguments.
Yeah,
I
this
mean, of
has to be. I
course.
think they say nothing's more traumatic on a marriage basically than the
Of
loss of a
course not.
child.
Yeah.
And I can't even, I mean, that's worse than, I think they always say that that's like the worst thing. Like when your
Yeah,
kids
I
go
can't
before
imagine
you
anything
do,
worse.
I
Yeah.
can't even, yeah, no, I can't imagine.
It's terrible. Well, at the end of the 2008-2009 basketball season, Lorenzen retired from both the Cleveland Cavaliers and the NBA. Now, at the time of his retirement, Lorenzen had played 13 seasons with the NBA and had earned roughly $55 million. Listen, that's a pretty good career. If you can make
Yeah.
$55 million in 13 seasons, that's impressive. Around the time of his retirement, Lorenzen signed a $1 million life insurance policy, naming his children as the beneficiaries. You might see where we're going here, folks. Meanwhile, after 13 years of marriage, Shara and Lorenzen filed for divorce in 2009 and finalized the settlement a year later in 2010. Now, Shara and Lorenzen reportedly started seeing each other romantically shortly after their divorce and maybe even discussed getting back together. So it's kind of one of those things where I think, tragically, the death of a child and then I'm
Course.
sure everything else that I'm sure happens in a marriage when you have so many kids kind of forced them to separate, but they were maybe going to get back together, it sounds like. So after their split, Shara chose to stay in Memphis with their six remaining children, while Lorenzen chose to live in Atlanta, though he dutifully contributed $26,000 a month
Yeah.
towards child support and visited his family regularly. So it sounds like he was
Wow.
doing what he could. When you're making that kind of money, that 26K sounds like a lot to us, but that's par for the course for people that make that kind of money. But he was living in another city and sounds like he was being as good of a father as he could, frankly, at that point. As I mentioned, though he had made roughly $55 million throughout the course of his basketball career, he actually struggled financially. So there's a lot, that sounds like a lot of money, but when you have a large family and maybe if you're not handling your money correctly,
Yeah,
it can become a problem.
you always got to know how to handle your money correctly. And that's a big,
Right.
I think, responsibility when you get a lot of money. You know, this is why people have
Yeah.
financial advisors and they look to their family. But, you know, it's why they say a lot of lottery winners actually end up being bankrupt or like these big money winners from a lot of these shows and game shows is
Oh, yeah.
because they don't know how to invest in it appropriately to like make your money kind of work for you because they think everyone, and granted, people want to pay off their debts. All of that makes sense. And like paying off debt is money that you don't really ever get to see. It's like,
It's true, yeah.
it's like filling a hole. You know, you don't get to
It truly
build. You're so
is.
just like, you're just filling that hole in order to
Yep.
build from that. And so that's kind of tough and can cost a lot. But at the same time, like it really is kind of knowing how your money can work for you. And so, yeah,
Yeah.
not everything, not every contract means that everyone's gonna keep all
Yeah.
that money and save all that money. You know, sometimes it goes to either nefarious or just not maybe the most financially sound things. So,
I would just add too, like I think about a lot of pop stars from like the 80s and 90s who had like these gigantic hits and maybe even big careers, and then you kind of hear about them nowadays and they don't really have a lot going for them, which is sad.
Exactly. And no one was there to kind of teach them that. And we don't really teach that in school, and we probably should.
Absolutely, we should.
Well, when the bank began threatening to repossess his home, Lorenzen started looking to come out of retirement, exploring potential options to play internationally. A lot, especially basketball, a lot of people do this. In the
Yeah.
if you know, kind of ex-NBA players, you can make a shit ton of money, at
On
least
a
have a
separate
career in
tour. Yeah.
China. They're just very into the NBA, and so a lot of people do this. Starbury did it famously. Now, in July of 2010, Lorenzen flew to Memphis to attend his sister's baby shower. As was his custom, Lorenzen stayed in Shara's home so that he could spend as much time as possible with her and the children during the trip. And Lorenzen arrived a few days early and met up with some of his basketball teammates from college. The group went to watch Lorenzen's son play in a basketball game. So cute.
Love that.
And while sitting in the stands during the game, Lorenzen's friends noticed that he was receiving a lot of text messages from his ex-wife, including
Uh-oh.
several nude photos of herself, along with the
What?
messages begging him to hurry home. Now, I don't want to say anything about the nude photos, but we all have that friend who comes to an event and you know that maybe they had just gotten to a spat with their significant other
Yeah.
and they're just constantly on their phones. Listen, I've been guilty of it too in previous years of my life, but like they're just constantly on their phone, and you know it's because their significant other or
Yeah.
ex or someone they are romantically, emotionally involved in are blowing up their shit and expecting them to respond.
Or someone they're having an affair with?
Or someone they're having an affair with or
Have I seen
something.
somebody do that in front of me and then figured it out? Maybe that's for another time, another place.
That is 100% possible. But then with the nudes and the hurry home, especially when they're
Yeah,
at their kids'
that's.
basketball games with their friends.
Yeah, that's weird.
Seems to be fishy to me because this doesn't seem respectful of his time. Now, the group dropped Lorenzen and his son back at Shara's house around 10 p.m., assuming after the game ended. However, Lorenzen never showed up to the baby shower. His family became immediately concerned as he'd flown hundreds of miles in order to attend this.
Right.
Lorenzen's mom, excuse me, Lorenzen's mom first contacted Shara, who seemed totally unconcerned, stating, quote, "There's nothing to be worried about. He'll come back. This is what Lorenzen does," end quote. Now, it is possible that he's the type of guy, using a stereotype here,
Yeah.
athlete, tall,
Yeah.
really handsome, makes money, going out, partying with his friends, bless you. He comes
Thank you.
back to be with all of
Sneeze.
his friends. He's out. He's not really communicative when he's out. This could have just been totally unnefarious. And he could have just been out with
Yeah.
all of his friends doing what he normally does. And this response from her wouldn't be that fishy.
I was gonna say, like, especially nothing to be worried about. He'll come back. You know, like that when I see that text or I'm reading it here on the screen, I'm like, that wouldn't raise a red flag to me if I'm like his family member, like his
And
manager.
also, if she said it with frustration because she's taken care of
Yeah.
seven kids and he's out partying and she's like, this is just what he does. Also, not a weird response if that's doing it. So the
Yeah.
response itself doesn't elicit anything. I
Yeah, at
just want to
this
make that
point,
clear.
yeah, I agree. Yes.
Lorenzen's family was unconvinced. And after not hearing from him for several days, they filed a
Wow.
missing persons report on July 22nd, 2010. If you're not going to hear from the guy for several days, that
Days
seems
is a different matter.
uncharacteristic considering he flew all this way to come to the baby shower.
Exactly.
When authorities spoke with Shara, she claimed that she had last seen her ex-husband on the evening of July 18th. And according to Shara, Lorenzen made a call from a burner cell phone about talking about, quote, flipping something for $110,000, end quote. And
Okay.
he left the home with two unknown armed men shortly thereafter. He brought money and drugs with him.
Okay, so interesting details
Okay.
here, but what I think we can all agree on is it's getting very sus very quickly, right? I think that's what I'm taking from it.
Considering he was seen at a basketball game with his son, with his friends.
Yeah, exactly. So police were able to obtain Lorenzen's phone records. Remember, he's a missing person at this point. There's been a missing persons report filed, we should say. But they were able to obtain his phone records and immediately became suspicious when they saw his last outgoing call was placed shortly after midnight on July 19th. And actually, Lorenzen had dialed 911 and the phone call was recorded. However, during the call, the dispatcher was, quote, unable to hear anything but gunshots,
Jesus.
end quote, before the line went dead. The 911 operator did not follow up on the call after the disconnect, which I find odd.
Yeah, I find it odd that they didn't follow up, but I often wonder, like, and maybe there's been a show about this and I just haven't researched, like, just from what 911 dispatchers hear.
That's a great, ooh, we should pitch that to somebody.
You know,
That's a
like,
great call. That's a great
I don't
idea.
know, like from the dispatch to solving a case, you
Right.
know, the dispatch or something like
The
that. Like
dispatch,
there,
yeah,
has to
exactly.
be something, and obviously those are very confidential, but like just the range of what people hear,
Yeah.
everything from probably not an emergency to an emergency. You know,
Yeah, that's
people are
true.
calling because of whatever, you know. I'm sure that I'm sure people call for all sorts of reasons, but just like that's got to be fascinating.
Yeah, I actually called 911 when I was a kid and I got in
I
trouble.
did too. I got in
Did
trouble
you?
too. Yes.
Yeah. So tragically, you know, this 911 operator is hearing gunshots. Well, investigators were able to trace the call to a wooded area, actually, in South Memphis. Now, obviously, this is 2010, I believe we're at right now. So cell phone data, a little more accurate and reliable at this point. So they were able to actually pinpoint and triangulate this wooded area. Not a good sign. Wooded area, 911 calls, gunshots. This is not adding up to be a good idea. So obviously, they go to this area in South Memphis, and on July 28th, the team found Lorenzen's decomposed remains.
Oh,
After
God.
only 9 days in the Tennessee heat, there was little more than a skeleton left,
He's
tragically.
6'11". Keep that in mind, too.
Yeah,
Like,
good point. Yeah.
crazy.
Now, the medical examiner later determined that Lorenzen had suffered two gunshot wounds to the head, two to his chest, and one to
Damn.
his arm. So those gunshots are very likely what the 911 operator was hearing. Along with his body, detectives also discovered Lorenzen's wallet and jewelry, along with several shell casings from both a handgun and a revolver. Now, his death was clearly not a result of a robbery gone bad. I mean, you're in the middle of the woods, too, so let's not forget that. Detectives turned to Lorenzen's parents and siblings for help. All insisted it would have been extremely out of character for him to be involved with drug dealing. And remember, you know, he was a professional athlete at that point, trying to get back into making money, you know. So his family is saying it's very suspicious. So puzzled, you know, the police reached back out to Shara, who actually declined to continue speaking with them on advice of her new legal counsel. Now,
Nothing sussy there.
I was just going to say, as it might be easy to look at that as a reason to think that she's somebody of interest, but the reality is, in a murder case, like, you probably don't want to be involved with this if you're innocent. But we're going to find out the truth about that in a moment. Investigators actually ended up subpoenaing Shara's phone records. Is that the right word? Subpoenaing? I think it is.
Subpoenaed,
Yeah, subpoenaed her phone records and noted that shortly before Lorenzen's death, she exchanged a high volume of messages with two men, her cousin, a man named Jimmy, and Billy Ray Turner, a man who worked at Shara's church.
I hate to be one of those people that is
Yes.
discriminating. Billy Ray Turner is a murderous name.
It's not only a murderous
It's a
name.
murderous fucking name.
It's like if Lady Gaga was maybe like a country superstar
Right, it's not Billy
type of
Bob
name.
Thornton, right? But Billy
Right.
Ray Turner is like, oh, the mass murderer, Billy Ray Turner. He murdered
Billy Ray
80
Turner. We know
people
Billy Ray
in the
Turner. Yeah.
woods. Like, duh,
Well, we
Billy
might
Ray
have to
Turner.
cut that out, but we'll talk more about that later
Sorry
after the
to all
show.
Billy Ray Turners out there. It's
Sorry to
just
anyone named
three
Billy Ray Turner.
names.
Yeah.
It's common.
I
I'm
hear
just
you. I see what
saying.
you're saying. I see what you're saying.
So at the time of Lorenzen's murder, Jimmy was charged with the second degree murder of his girlfriend,
Wow.
Martha Bones, and was free on bail awaiting his trial. Okay, I
Not a
mean,
good look, though, either, by the way, that somebody
dude.
who's been charged with the second degree murder of his girlfriend is suddenly involved in
Not
the
great company to keep.
No, exactly.
Though detectives were able to determine through phone records that Jimmy and Lorenzen were in roughly the same area on the night Lorenzen was killed, there didn't really seem to be any further connection between the two men, and being related to his ex-wife could also just be a coincidence. Now, the case lost traction and went cold until Jimmy's trial ended in 2013 with a guilty verdict.
Interesting.
Facing 20 years in prison, Jimmy tried to bargain with the court, offering to tell them all he knew about Lorenzen's murder. Here's his bargaining chip now.
Interesting.
As long as he received full immunity for the crime and could never be charged. And once that happens, you know, there's no double jeopardy. Like, that's it,
Right.
you know? So,
Right.
like, there you go. And he's probably already facing 20. If he gets caught for that, it's going to be in life in prison.
For
So,
sure.
when the deal was signed, Jimmy informed officers that his cousin Shara had actually reached out to him several times, asking him to help her kill her ex. At one point, it even made an attempt on Lorenzen's life at Shara's request. Of course, the plan failed before anyone even became suspicious. Could you
Wow.
imagine trying to break down a 6'11" fucking dude? I mean, the only way to do it would be
Athlete, no
surreptitious, or th
less.
an athlete would be surreptitiously or with a gun, because, like, it's going to be hard to overpower this man.
Right, I
However,
agree.
according to Jimmy, he was away in Mississippi on the night Lorenzen actually died. But he obviously
Okay.
knows a lot of information here. When he
Right.
later spoke to Shara, she informed him Billy Ray Turner had carried out the murder, but that she still needed help disposing of Lorenzen's body. Jimmy
Wow.
also admitted to having thrown the murder weapon into a lake. And even with this break in the case, police still didn't have enough information. They searched a lake, but found no sign of the gun. Okay.
Okay, so by 2013, Shara had received payout on the million dollar, a payout, excuse me, on the $1 million life insurance claim that Lorenzen took out only a few months before his death. Remember, we mentioned that at the top of the show. Though, as we mentioned, his children were named as the beneficiaries. They were all at the time, however, underage and couldn't take possession of that money, frankly, until they turned 18
I also
plus.
just want to say, like, right now, I just did the math on this. She gets a $1 million payout from the life insurance policy, but she's getting paid $26,000 a month from
Child support, yep.
child support. 26,000 to get to a million, $26,000 a month would only take just a touch over 3 years.
Yeah.
So, like, the
So
million
stick it out,
dollar life
babe.
insurance
Right.
policy is like pretty small. All
He,
things considered
when
in
you
the
think about the
larger,
longevity of it,
you
yeah,
think about the
exactly.
longevity of it, and I, you know, depends on when they all turn 18, but like, kind of
Yeah, that's right.
nuts. Anyway.
So Shara gets the payout of this million
Right.
dollar life insurance claim. She spent almost all of it within the first 10 months of receiving it, splurging on expensive trips and furniture and even a new swimming pool.
Also, another example of someone not necessarily knowing what to do with money
Yeah,
coming into sudden
exactly.
money, where she could have set her life up in some
And the
investments or some
children who are the
property. And the
beneficiaries.
children, you know, obviously the expectation is that she's going to carry out the father's wishes and give this money to
Right.
her children when they turn 18. This does not seem to be the case.
Well, Lorenzen's father actually even tried to prevent Shara from spending his grandchildren's inheritance through legal means. However, Shara was able to prove that after receiving the money, she had put a gigantic down payment on a 5,300 square foot home and
Damn.
placed it in a trust for her children. So, in that regard, their inheritance actually still legally existed and nothing came from the claim. You might even be able to say that it's an investment and would gain more money from it by the
Well,
time they're
that's
18.
true if that's how she's going to do it. I mean, it's, you know,
Right.
it's kind of how people, what people describe as house poor, you know, which is why when the fires burned down in LA and everyone's like, oh, these are rich people, I'm like, actually, a lot of their wealth is spent in their houses, which is now burned
Right.
down. So, you
Yeah,
know,
sad
you spend a lot of
tragically.
money in a property that you hope to actually have investment in. And then when it's
Yeah.
gone or whatever, you know, like you're fucked.
Yeah,
So,
exactly.
yeah.
Well, in 2015, get this, Shara published a book called Mr. Tell Me Anything, about a woman who is married to an abusive and cheating basketball player. Now,
Oh,
though the
Lord.
novel is touted as fiction, Cher later stated in an interview that its contents were based about her real life.
Of course. This is
Yeah.
the O.J. Simpson If I Did It book.
To a degree, I mean, she is making an accusation that he was abusive and cheating in that regard then, so that's an interesting claim, but Who knows? But Lorenzen's case had stalled once again until several years later when a cold case team reopened the investigation and obtained permission to research the same lake that they had mentioned the firearm potentially being in.
Right.
Now, this time, they were able to retrieve the murder weapon, and Jimmy's story could now be proven true, and detectives could act on this information.
I wonder what changed of why they couldn't. Maybe they searched a larger area. Maybe this was just a different dive team. Who
Maybe a different
knows?
judge or whatever, different people in
Just curious
power
why
or
they
office.
now found maybe they spent more time on it, but it's great that they found it. Now, in early December of 2017, Billy Ray Turner was arrested and charged with Lorenzen's first-degree murder. Shara was arrested a week later. She too faced a first-degree murder charge, as well as conspiracy and attempted murder charges. Shara pleaded not guilty to the charge of first-degree murder. And in 2019, just, 6 years ago, Shara, now 48 years old, was offered a deal. She pled guilty to, quote, facilitation to commit first degree murder. So she didn't put her hands on Lorenzen, but she 100% facilitated someone else to put their hands figuratively on it with the gun. You know what I
And
mean?
presumably for that extensive life insurance payment.
Now, in ex
Presumably.
presumably, now in exchange, the mother of five was sentenced to only 30 years in prison with the possibility of parole.
Still a lot for a 48-year-old, though, by the way.
And Billy Ray Turner's, think of those children. Billy Ray Turner's court date was delayed for several years due to COVID-19. His case finally went to trial in 2022, where he was convicted of the murder charges and subsequently sentenced to life in prison. The same year, Cher made her first appearance before the Tennessee Parole Board after serving only 15% of her sentence. Her request for parole was denied, and she was not eligible to appear before the board again until 2027. So that's the thing is like, if you get denied, it's not something you could just keep redoing every single month. You do have to wait a period of time. Lorenzen's mom, Marion, plans to be present at each of Shara's parole hearings, stating, quote, I'm going to make sure she serves those 30 years until she comes with her real truth. And as long as the blood stays warm in my body, I will be there every time, end quote. And so that's the
Good for
case
her.
of this famous basketball player. Now, I often think of the children and just what they're kind of suffering from. And, one of these things we sort of mentioned up at the top, and we'll talk about this next week with Karen Reed, is that in this Karen Reed documentary, the boyfriend that was killed, John O'Keefe, this police officer, he was the kind of surrogate parent. He was taking care of his niece and nephew because his sister had died. And then the sister's husband, his brother-in-law, also died. So these kids were sort of quote unquote orphan, and then this guy takes care of them to take it on, and then he gets murdered.
Oh
Or
my
we
God.
don't know. Murdered, homicide, we don't fucking know. Homicide, whatever the hell happened. But just think of the kids. And like I just think of the kids here. And obviously, like it's a tragic thing, but just goes to show this mother kind of, making sure justice is done.
Yeah, his mom, Marion, yeah.
But I gotta be honest with you. I mean, I kind of wrote to this case as Megan was researching, and I was like, never really underestimate someone's ability to be stupid because, again, just the math, if she wants that money,
Well, right.
and also he was separated from her. So any sort of abuse or
Right, that's what
cheating
I
that
don't
might have been
get.
happening, I'm not to say that emotional abuse didn't happen. I don't want to discount that. But also, like, you clearly had a way to sort of get out of this. At least it seems like it's hard to put cast aspersions, but like,
It kind of, sorry.
she had a good deal. I don't know. She just had a good deal.
Yeah, I mean, as far as like a divorce goes, for sure. And, I also wonder if there's, a certain level of jealousy connected to this. They're
Could
not
be.
together. She's sending him nude photos, in the days leading up to his death. Like, maybe she couldn't handle the idea of him being with somebody else. I mean, that is something that we've talked about quite extensively on the show.
That's
Jealousy will,
possible. But
yeah,
she's at her
jealousy causes people to
son's.
do crazy things.
Right, jealousy, envy, but he was at his son's basketball game, like, and you're gonna be doing that, like, I don't know, a lot of fishiness, a lot of odd decisions being made, but yeah. Anyway, let us know what you guys think of this case at Jay Thrasher at Carpe Darren. Obviously, write us on Patreon. We're also on Facebook, so write us wherever you get to us there. John, let us end as we always do with some pleasant listener shout outs. Why don't you take the first one?
Absolutely. Our friend Catherine in the Facebook group started quite a discussion recently saying, when she posted, quote, "Did we watch Lori Vallow on Dateline? I need to discuss," in all caps, which means
Yep.
business, by the way.
Business.
I just wanted to give her a shout out because we love that you guys are talking about other true crime stuff than just what we're talking about and what we're talking about here on the show. So the comments were very interesting. A lot of people were weighing in. So if you're listening to this and you're not in our Facebook, be sure, or our Facebook group, be sure to join in and join in on the conversation when you're not listening to the show. And thank you, Catherine, for spurring on some conversation there.
And it is Shaken and Disturbed podcast fans for anyone that wants to
That's right.
join our
Thank you.
group.
And the
We
link is
ask,
in the bio as well, or
and the
in
link
our
is
show
show
notes.
notes. And we want to have a, give a super huge shout out to our friend Marty,
Yes.
who continues to support the show in so many special ways. Marty, thank you for all that you do and everything you've done to support us. Honestly, we're so lucky to have you as a genuine sussy radish. You're the sussiest of the sus and a
That's
friend of the
true.
show. Big, huge hugs from both of us. Seriously,
Thank you,
thank you,
Marty.
Marty. You are just absolutely amazing. And it's nice to see that we're friends with you and you're
I
friends with us.
know.
It's very nice to see. So
I
thank
hope
you.
I get to give Marty a big hug one day.
Me
She's just
too.
the best. We love her. Well, you guys should join Marty and many others on Patreon because for less than $5 a month, you can support our show via Patreon. It helps keep the show up and running. Inflation? Tariffs? Never
Price of
heard of them over
eggs?
here. Price of eggs? We don't know about that. You know why? Because we've never changed our prices on our Patreon. And now you can get 4 years. We've just celebrated our 4 year anniversary about a month ago. 4 years of content waiting for you. You can join at patreon.com/shakenanddisturbed, all one word. Or of course, you can click the link in our show notes.
And don't forget, if you sign up at our top tier, Sussy
That's
Radish,
right.
like Marty, you get your name on a board every single week in our video. So definitely do that.
Yeah, which I'm pointing to
The
right
magic
now.
wrist. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well,
Ooh.
Darren, this was an interesting
Ah.
case full of
Yes.
ups and downs. We want to say thank you to everyone who's listening. And of course, my sign off for this year. So far, we are entering allergy season, so let's see what if this changes, is to take care and wash your hair.
My sign off is normally please be neat and wipe the seat, but today, in honor of our case, I'm going to do
Oh.
if you got three names and you go by those three names, honey, you sussy.
You
You
sus.
sussy.
Okay,
You
I love
sussy.
that.
You sussy.
I love that. And on
John
that note,
Norman Thrasher, John Nelson Thrasher, John
Norman.
Nicholas
Norman.
Thrasher.
Yeah, which one is it, guys? Not for you to find out.
Nelson.
Okay.
Nelson.
Okay. Someone's
Yep.
going to steal my identity. All right. We'll see you guys next time.
His
We
social
love you.
security number is
Goodbye. Bye bye.
112.
All right. Bye bye. Bye bye.